Nothing new under the sun, nobody fucking with sun. I got a couple of sons, a couple of guns, a couple of niggas that bust up the party and fuck up the fun. She digging me and I'm cuffing a friend. She igging you, are we fucking for fun? I got a suck in her thumb, that my little baby. She call me daddy like grandmama baby. If this Sunday dinner, my hand on the gravy. I've been on the craziest wave. If I'm on the stage, the M is my minimum wage. This ain't no kennel, but hey, if niggas was without that barking, we sending them straight. So in a way, we the dog catchers. How many bullets your dog catching? Sawed off, raw dog fashion. Hauled off, hope dog catch. Damn.
What's up? What's up? What's good with it, everybody? We are back again for another episode of the Pick and Roll Podcast. And it's been a little while, man. I ain't even going to lie, but it ain't really been too much for us to talk about, honestly. Sam, what's up?
What's good, world? We finally back with y'all.
Finally back, man. We got college football on the horizon, man. And this college football, this starting out week is a little different. It's not the typical college football opening week. Obviously, opening week, it's a lot of games to look forward to. This particular weekend, we only have two games. We got Miami and Florida. We got Arizona and Hawaii. Now, that Arizona-Hawaii game, most people probably won't tune in to. But this Miami and Florida game, it has a lot of heat surrounding it. Florida's ranked eighth currently, and Miami's unranked, but we know the dramatics that come with this rivalry. So let's talk about that a little bit, man. What are you looking forward to in this Miami game? What do you expect to see in this Miami versus Florida game?
I expect to see a whole busload of defense. It's no secret that both of these teams are always great on the defensive side of the ball. And they both always lack one thing on the offensive side, which is a QB. I would throw them – they're not quite as bad with that as LSU, but, I mean, these two teams are right there.
Shit, you ask me. I think they all in the same boat now that LSU got Joe Burrow.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can expect for this to be a low-scoring defensive affair. Obviously, somebody's got to make some type of plays in order to win the game, but I don't expect to see a whole lot of offensive plays being made in this game. A bunch of defense. Hopefully, we can have some big hits or something, or the end of this shit very long. I ain't even gonna lie, I can't start out the season like this. I would rather have seen a Big 12 game to start the season. See some offense, man. But yeah, I'm just happy that college football is back. So I'll be watching for sure. Got a lot of friends who like each team.
That's a fact. So if you had to pick a squad, who would you rock with in this game?
I'm going to go with Florida and Felipe Franks with the experience. He did start to play pretty well. Not great, but pretty well towards the end of the season last year. He's got something – coming into this year that he can hang his hat on and try to improve on some things and maybe a little bit of confidence. So
yeah, I can understand that. Felipe Franks, like you said, he started to pick it up a bit toward the end of the season, and that could be a product of him learning that offense. Now that he's had a full offseason of learning that Dan Mullen offense or Dan Mullen's offense, I think that it could benefit him. But I think I got to go with the Canes in that one, just off the strength that Miami, they're having a complete culture change down there. Their head coach retired on them. Excuse me. We saw a couple years ago that they were bringing back swag with the turnover chain. All of that going on. They had a lot going on with defense. And who better to become the head coach than the guy that started all of that? Manny Diaz, the guy that's responsible for the turnover chain. The guy who was their defensive coordinator is now their head coach. So I expect to see that Miami defense even more ramped up than it was. I think that they'll come out with something to prove just off the strength that they hate Florida. They hate Florida flat out. And Florida, with them being ranked eighth, Miami couldn't see it happening any better than them knocking them up out of that top 10. Like, I think that Miami would love to do that. And as you said, both of these teams are struggling with quarterbacks. There's no secret. That's what it's been. It's been that. Miami, they don't have what they do, but they're deciding to go away from it. They don't have that experience that Florida has as far as quarterback is concerned. Their quarterback from last year, I mean, they've got Nkosi Perry still there, but they've decided to go with the true freshman. And I don't know. I mean, they decided to go with Jaren Williams for the starting position. And I think that could be a little risky. But having a defense like Miami does, I think that you can rely on that, because this is a team that they've got three linebackers that easily could have went to the NFL if they wanted to. Like not a question at all. Three starting guys that could have went to the NFL. Now, all of them decided to come back. Now, the guy that really stands out to me is Shaq Quarterman. He's been a three-time All-ACC selection. So that just goes to show he's been a baller since he stepped foot on campus, and I don't expect to see anything different out of him this year. I think Miami will lean on that defense a little more, and I think they'll be able to create some turnovers. And Florida, I feel like Florida will get rattled. I think that Miami, having that freshman quarterback, he has the potential to get rattled, but I don't think that that'll weigh on him too much. I feel like this is a team that knows that they have a freshman quarterback, so they'll lean on their defense and their run game and a lot of other things to actually help them out there. So I think that Miami, they'll string together some stops and get themselves in some positions to where it'll be easier for that freshman quarterback. But, man, it's something else I've been wanting to touch on now. Everybody knows that Jaren Williams is the starting quarterback, but – everybody also knows that there was a transfer that happened this summer. Guy in Tate Martell, who's a flat-out baller from Bishop Gorman in Vegas, four-year starter at Bishop Gorman, never lost a game. What was it? 42-0? 42-0. So we know he's a winner.
42-0.
He was at Ohio State. He was the number one dual-threat quarterback in the nation. And didn't get to play much at Ohio State because we saw Dwayne Haskins have his breakout year last year. And now that Justin Fields transferred down there, Tate Martell decides, I'm not trying to compete. I'm trying to go somewhere where I can step in and start to make the most of my eligibility. Well, he goes to Miami, and now he's in the same position that he was in Georgia. So, Ohio State. So, what's the silver lining here? What is something, I guess, positive to look out of this if you're Tate Martell?
Major positive thing is that he's still only a sophomore. So, I mean, he still has time. Another thing is I think that he's lost confidence in himself. Being the number one dual threat quarterback in the country coming in, never losing a game in high school, probably never really having to compete for a position, and then coming into college and losing multiple quarterback battles, I think that probably is weighing on his psyche. And I don't think that he's where he needs to be mentally to be a quarterback in college right now. I think that he needs to stick it out in Miami because karma got the best of him. And I feel like that went to show you that transferring is not always the best option. Because, I mean, you leave and you think you're good, and then you end up in another battle, and you lose that one too. He should realize now that no matter where he goes, he's going to have to compete for a job. So he should just concentrate on being the best version of himself and trying to win the job. I mean, that's all he can do.
Yeah, I think this is a case of Tate Martell showing us a little bit that he may be spoiled. Like you said, he's probably never had to compete for a job. So – now that we're seeing it happen, it's like he's kind of panicking a little bit. Now, I feel like that the silver lining as far as Tate Martell is concerned is that he stepped into a Miami situation where they have a new head coach. The new head coach is a defensive guy. So it'll be interesting to see what will happen offensively if they'll bring in an offensive coordinator that may try to go in another direction, because Tate Martell transferring to Miami, it looked good on paper, but when you really get down into the thick of things, Miami hasn't had a quarterback like Tate Martell probably ever, like probably back since when they, like back in the day. They don't have guys that are that excel at running the ball as well as he does. It's been a very long time since we've seen that in Miami. And Miami seems to be sticking it at with a guy like Jaren Williams. He's a guy that he can move if need be, but he's not a guy that's going to scare you with his feet. And we're starting to see coaches move in that direction a little more, especially coaches that have that run that pro style offense. That's what we're seeing, and that's what Miami does. So Tate Martell transferring there, you had to know that this came with the territory. There were going to be guys that fit the offense a little better than you do, seeing as you're a dual threat guy. Like, you make your money with your legs. So I didn't necessarily think Miami was the best option for him from that standpoint, but now he's got an even bigger issue on his hands. There's a true freshman in Jaren Williams who came in and won a starting position. But not only is that an issue, you've also got the guy who was their quarterback last year in Kosi Perry, who, if things go wrong with Jaren Williams, I'm pretty positive they'll turn to Nkosi Perry before they turn to Tate Martell. Tate Martell is right now, to me, looking like the third string quarterback, which is a shame because he's got starting quarterback talent. But the situation that he's in doesn't benefit him because they don't run the type of offense that benefits or that tailors to his skill set. So I think it's going to be a little bumpy for him. It's going to be a little rocky, but I think, like you said, you stay down, show that you're who they think you are, and eventually, once you get your shot, you make the most of it. We've seen guys who have been in situations where they've had to compete for jobs or they have transferred somewhere and just happen to get their opportunity and never look back. And Tate Martell can be one of those guys, but he's going to have to get out there and show them what he's really capable of doing outside of running. And then I feel like that will make Manny Diaz and the head coach, being the new head coach, I feel like that'll make him look to see, okay, well, we've got a guy like Tate who's showing us that he's got the tools, but what can we do to make him better? Once he gets that opportunity, I feel like they'll try, if he makes the most of it, they'll try to tailor their offense around him, whether that be going out to get a different type of offensive coordinator or opening up the playbook a little more, because just the thought of him and an option-style offense in Miami with all of that speed, it's scary. But, I mean, we'll see if things play out that way. But, yeah, man, I feel sorry for him in a way because I was rooting for Tate. I really was. But, I mean, like you said, sometimes you just got to show that you are capable of competing. So, I mean, I think that's pretty much enough about Miami and Florida. My pick, Miami, you said you was going with Florida, right?
Yep.
All right, so make sure y'all tune in to that. That will be this Saturday. Now, as we said, Florida is ranked 8th. I don't necessarily know how I feel about that. This whole top 25, man, it's a little interesting. I think, to me, Florida is probably that'll be the largest discrepancy that I have. Because I don't think that Florida is a top 10 team in the nation. Defensively, yes, no question. But they've got so many question marks. Like, I don't think that Felipe Franks, to me, is worthy of leading a team like that. So if you are a top 10 team, especially coming in at 8th, to me, that shows that they feel as if you could compete for a playoff spot. And I don't feel that way about Florida at all. Just for our viewers or our listeners who don't know, we'll run off some of the top 25. We'll start with the top 10. We've got Clemson at number 1. No discrepancy for me there at all. They're worthy of that number 1 spot as far as I'm concerned. Number 2, you got Bama. Then you got Georgia, you got Oklahoma, and you got my Buckeyes. Ohio State rounding out the top 5. Then you got LSU at 6. You got Michigan at 7. Florida at 8. Notre Dame at 9. Texas at 10. So let's stop right there for a split second. Is there anything that stands out to you that's like, I don't know, that's a little generous as far as that top 10 is concerned?
Nah, because we know that the preseason top 10 is more about last year than it is anything. So I never really pay much of attention right now.
Yeah, I can understand that. I guess the more that I'm looking at it, I can't see too many teams really ranked above Florida. If anything, I could see Texas being ranked above Florida. They showed some signs of being a pretty good ball club last year. Still on the fence about Notre Dame. I'm always on the fence about Notre Dame, man, because they being in that independent, man, we saw, what was that, 2 years ago when they went to the playoffs and got slapped up?
Yeah, they got treated.
Didn't belong at all. So, man, we've already touched on that. I would love to see them get into a conference or at least, like, play a full conference schedule and let it hold some weight. Let them be able to go to a conference championship or something. So, on the fence about them. But, yeah, I think with Florida being at number eight, it's not too crazy for me to see them in the top ten. The more I look at it, I just think that I will probably put a team like Texas ahead of them. But outside of that, sitting on the outside of the top 10, we got Oregon at 11, Texas A&M at 12, Washington at 13, Utah at 14, Penn State at 15, 16 is Auburn, 17 UCF, 18 Michigan, 19 Wisconsin, 20 Iowa, 21 Iowa State, 22 Syracuse, 23 Washington State, and to round out the 25, we got Nebraska and Stanford. I don't really think it's too, I guess, nothing stands out to me as being far-fetched as far as that top 25 is concerned. I can't really see too many teams on the outside of the top 25, I guess, deserving of being there. To me personally, this upcoming season, it could be setting the stage for somebody to come blindly out the woodworks that we wouldn't expect to. But to me, it looks like the top five teams are pretty much the teams that's going to be fighting for the playoff spot. I think that the top five teams are hands down the best five teams in the nation, at least on paper. I believe that's true. So I don't think I have any issues with the top 25.
I got one issue.
What's your issue?
Man, it's a team missing.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. I knew you was going to bring up them trash-ass Trojans sooner.
Hey, if we not relevant, y'all still going to hear my damn mouth. Fuck all that. Hey, we belong in the top 25. We got the best quarterback receiver duo in the country.
Nobody even knows what y'all's quarterback situation is. They just now announced that y'all's guy was going to be the starter, right?
I should be honest with you, bro. I don't even know. That's how down I am. But I'm still going to talk my shit. So JT not starting?
Nah. I read an article today. Who's y'all's two guys? What's the two guys?
I don't know. I just assumed that it was going to be JT Daniels again.
I don't believe it's JT Daniels. I'm going to tell you exactly who it is because I just read the article earlier today and I was like, I don't think that he was a starter last year. But, you know, I don't be keeping up with y'all too much, to be completely honest. It ain't really much to keep up with as far as I'm concerned.
I'm down on us. I'm down, but I'm still going. I'm still here.
I mean, yeah, you don't got no choice for real. You gotta hold it down, and especially with the way that your NFL team been looking,
I'm about to put my 2 years in.
Oh, for USC? Oh man, that's how you feeling?
Nah, but we gotta get better at recruiting, man. We got out recruited by Washington, Oregon, and Stanford this year.
Yeah, that's true. It's been quite some time since we've been seeing one of them USC type teams, like bolster classes.
We letting people come in and take guys from California. Yeah. That's like no shit on
exactly. There. And that's something that definitely cannot happen. Like, just can't happen. But yeah, what was y'all's record last year? I can't remember what y'all's record was. Daniels is gonna be the starting quarterback.
Bro, we was 5-7 last year.
Oh my gosh.
No bowl game for the first time in our fan history.
Ooh, and I expect to see more of the same. So now that we talk about your Trojans, man. Would you let's talk about some sleeper teams and some overrated teams, man. Who would you consider your boys to be one?
Hell no. my sleeper, I got one sleeper team for real.
Who is that?
Oregon.
Nah, I guess that's they would be a sleeper to me to get into the playoff. But they, I mean, they ranked 11th. They got a chance to jump into that top 10 early.
Yeah, but I think that they're one of the teams that people should be talking about to make the playoff. For one, they're playing in the Pac-12, which isn't all that tough. Especially, well, I mean, it's some good teams in the Pac-12, but there's nobody really jockeying for a spot in the playoff out of the Pac-12. But, I mean, you did name about 4 or 5 teams ranked in the top 25. Washington, Oregon, Utah, Stanford. So, I mean, it's some good teams in the conference, but it's more like it's just a competitive league, but it's not like nobody's really a great team out of there. So I think that Oregon has a really good chance to run the table in the Pac-12. And, I mean, they've got one of the best quarterbacks in the country, which we'll get to here shortly. So I think that Oregon's definitely a sleeper team this year. I think they have a shot to get in the playoff. And then my overrated.
You say overrated, so you got multiple of them things, huh?
Yeah, I've just got two. I got Penn State as one for sure. And I got Notre Dame.
That was one of my.
I mean, I don't understand why every year we're just throwing these guys back at the top.
Yeah, like with yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't know. It might just be fatigue, just tired of seeing this shit. But I just don't believe in Notre Dame. I never believed that they'll be one of those teams that's actually good enough to win a championship. I don't see it. But I mean, I guess the football. The FPI does, the Football Power Index, or whatever they call that shit.
Yeah, I can agree. I can agree with that. They are, I guess, one of those teams who just can never quite get over that hump. You saw a couple years ago when they played USC in the Rose Bowl, same year they beat Ohio State. A lot of people were saying that they probably should have got into the playoff when they had Saquon and what was the quarterback's name? Can't remember the quarterback's name. But McSorley. Yeah, Trace McSorley. A lot of people were saying they should have gotten to the playoff. They ended up losing to USC in the Rose Bowl that year. So to me, pretty much showed that that was not the case. Penn State, they've always been one of those teams that they seem to be ranked pretty high, but something always holds them back from being that team. And I mean, it's something different every year. So I think if you're James Franklin, you kind of got to be a little uneasy right now. They brought you in to take them to the next level, and you've just made them even more complacent. And what made it even worse was that he had such a good showing in his first couple of years that really made them think, oh, we're going to be competing for a championship here soon. But they haven't. So, I mean, whew. We'll see what goes on there, but let's get to my, I guess, underrated teams. Really only got one, to be honest. The one that stood out to me as far as underrated, you said Oregon. I actually went Pac-12 as well, but I went in a different direction. I think Utah is a team that they've got a lot of potential. They return their quarterback this year. They've also got their running back coming back. Their defense is it's more their defensive line than anything. Their defensive line is pretty much solid a lot of years, but this year is going to be pretty solid because they've got a lot of guys coming back. I think that they're in a great position in that Pac-12. I think that they can win the Pac-12 South. I believe. Like you said, Oregon's out there, so I feel like it'll be those two teams facing off in the Pac-12 to see who will win the Pac-12. But, excuse me, I think that they'll be the team. Now, the thing that stands out is that they got road games at USC this year, and they also got a road game at Washington. Definitely trap games. Both of those can be games that I can see them tripping up on. I think that they're the better team in both of those games, but I think that that's definitely one that could hurt. And let's call it what it is, man. If you're in the Pac-12 and you plan on getting into that playoff,
you
have to go undefeated.
Yeah, you got to run the table.
You got to go undefeated. So, I mean, it's going to come down to them being able to hold their own on the road in those games and then facing off with Oregon.
Oh, another thing about Oregon, though, they wouldn't have to go undefeated. I mean, they do play Auburn first game of the season. So, I mean, that game will tell us a lot.
Hold a lot of weight.
It'll tell us pretty much everything we're going to need to know about Oregon.
Auburn's also another team that I believe is underrated. That's why I think that matchup is so intriguing.
Yeah, it can make in the one first of their week. Seasons.
It could. Both of these teams are teams that I consider to be on the bubble of being, I guess, respected in a way. I feel like whichever team comes out on top will be a little more respected, depending on how they win. If it goes down to the wire and one team wins by a field goal or by a possession, I don't think it's going to hold quite as much weight as it would if they were to win by multiple scores. So I'm expecting to see a big time game there. But I do like Auburn a bit. I like Auburn. That'll probably be my other sleeper team. But overrated, man. I done already touched on one. Damn Florida. I mean, they are, with them being ranked eighth, I don't necessarily believe that they are one of the best teams in the nation. Like I said, this opening weekend, it wouldn't shock me not one bit if Miami wins this game. I don't know. I think that they're just not a very good team. Not from top to bottom. Another team is Texas A&M. They come into the season ranked 12th, and there's nothing on their roster that looks appealing to me. Not to mention they've got a tough ass schedule. They got Clemson this year, Georgia, and LSU all on the road. And they've got Georgia and LSU in back-to-back weeks to end off the regular season. So I can't see them. I think those two games at the end of the season are going to be them trying to play spoiler to two teams that'll be better than them schedule or record-wise. I think when it gets to like them last couple weeks, we're going to see a Texas A&M team that's trying to make it into the bowl season, trying to limp into the bowl season. So that would definitely be my overrated picks. Florida, because of their quarterback situation, and Texas A&M because there's just nothing appealing about them to me at all. I mean, they could prove me wrong. I guess these guys know more than what we know. I mean, they've ranked both of these teams pretty high, so I guess we'll see. But I definitely don't see I can't see them guys finishing the season anywhere remotely close to where they're ranked now. But yeah, man, those are our sleepers and overrated teams. So let's touch on some players now, man. If you had to name five quarterbacks in college football to watch, who would be your five?
Well, I want to start off by saying I left the obvious two guys off the list just because – everybody and their mom knows about Trevor and Tua. So okay. I didn't feel the need to tell y'all that you should watch those guys. If you watch college football and you weren't under a rock last year, you know about each of those guys. So
right.
I left them off the list. Number five for me is Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be playing with a chip on his shoulder this year. Got a lot to prove. I would love to see a Final Four matchup of Oklahoma versus Alabama.
Agreed.
Against his former squad. Number four, Kelly Bryant, another transfer, another chip on his shoulder. Guy from Clemson, lost the job to Trevor Lawrence. So yeah, he's at Mizzou now. I think that's a nice under the radar team, a run heavy squad which suits him very nicely. I think that he can make some noise down there and have the Mizzou faithful have a little buzz around their season this year. I'm not saying they'll go 10-2 or anything, but
I think that's likely. I think their
schedule is soft. Yeah, their schedule is kind of soft. That's what I was about to say. They don't play a bunch of the top teams in the SEC, so it wouldn't surprise me if they went 10-2. But I mean, yeah, I mean I like that move for him going to Mizzou. I think it's perfect.
Not too much expectation,
right? No,
he can step in and do his thing, and he's also playing at a high, like in a big conference, major conference,
right? Number three. I got De'Aaron King from Houston.
Okay, I like that. I like that a lot.
He accounted for 50 touchdowns last year. You got to tune into that guy. He's a real special talent.
He is.
He's a really special talent. Number two, I got Justin Herbert, Oregon. I mean, he very well might be the best pro quarterback prospect in college football this year. Because, I mean, Trevor Lawrence ain't eligible.
Jake Fromm?
And you know that's my number one. That's my guy. You know, I fuck with Jake Fromm, hard body. That's my number one quarterback to watch this year. As I said 2 years ago when the fourth quarter podcast, which was what we were previously called with two other hosts, Fromm will win a national title before he leaves. So if you think that he's going to go to the league this year, then
hey.
Georgia go win the national title this year. He will win a title before he leaves. He's that type of guy. I've loved his personality and his work ethic and his leadership ability ever since I watched QB1. He's just the type of guy that you want leading your squad. He's not quite Tebow, but he's Tebow-esque. Like he's that kind of leader. But he's definitely that type of leader. But yeah, so that's my top five QBs to watch, minus the actual top two quarterbacks in the country, in Tua and Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And just to piggyback a little bit off of what you said about Fromm, he's one of those special guys that you don't come across too often. As far as skill set, he's got a lot of Aaron Rodgers written all over him. He makes a lot of tough passes, but he's sneaky athletic. Like, he can get up out the pocket if need be. He's like, to me, I don't want our listeners to take this in the wrong way. I'm not saying that he is these guys, but he has the makeup of a guy like Aaron Rodgers as far as play style and a guy like Tom Brady as far as what he brings to the table as far as leadership and getting the best out of his players. Since he stepped on campus, Georgia has been in a conversation for the playoffs. So that just goes to show right there the type of guy that he is. He's been leading those guys for a while. So he's definitely my favorite quarterback to watch this year as well. I've kind of feel like he left off a guy on there purposely. But make sure y'all tune in to Justin Fields too, because I feel like, hey, with him stepping into this high power Buckeye offense that we got now, he's got a lot of weapons around him. But we'll touch on that a little later. I ain't gonna spoil y'all with all of this Buckeye talk that early. Let's see. So since you did quarterbacks, I'll take running backs. My five running backs to watch this year. I'm going to start off with honorable mention. Honorable mention is Puka Williams Jr. from Kansas. I'm sure a lot of you probably don't even know his name. But I'm sure you've seen his highlights all over the internet everywhere. He's a guy that can kick it in the gear and make a lot of highlight plays. That's just who he is. And I think that we'll see a lot more of that to come. He's a smaller guy, 5'10", 170 pounds. So that should tell you right there, as soon as he touches the ball, He's out of there. Like, that's just how fast he is. And I personally think that 5'10 is generous. Coming out of high school, he was listed at like 5'8 or something like that. So, yeah, he's a little smaller. So that's my honorable mention. My number five running back would be Kennedy Brooks from Oklahoma. I think that he'll have a huge season this year, especially playing alongside Jalen Hurts. Most of the Oklahoma running backs have had the luxury of playing with quarterbacks that can run the ball, seeing as Kyler Murray was there last year, then you had Baker Mayfield. Now you've got Jalen Hurts. So this is another situation where I feel like Jalen Hurts has that type of ability to where he can break any open, he can break any run play off into a big play, possibly a touchdown. So I feel like with a lot of teams keying on him, that'll give Kennedy Brooks the green light to be able to do what he does. Number four, DeAndre Swift. I don't think that much really needs to be said about him. If you watch Georgia, as Sam said, about Jake Fromm, then you've seen DeAndre Swift. Even with the talented running backs of Sony Michel and Nick Chubb, he still made a name for himself on that roster. So now that he's the lone standing guy, I think that we'll see a lot out of him this year if he's healthy, because we've seen early on he hasn't been practicing with them here lately. He actually had on a black jersey at one of the practices a few days ago, and that drew a lot of media attention. A lot of people were saying, well, is he really – like, how hurt is he if he's not even practicing? And the head coach kind of laughed it off and said, oh, I just did that just to give y'all something to talk about, which to me, red light, that's not true. He didn't give him no black jersey just for y'all to talk about it. So there's something going on there. I'm not quite sure, but I hope that he's healthy because he's definitely an electric guy. Number three. I mean, you guys could have guessed this. Come on now. You knew I wasn't. You knew I was going to make a list, and you knew I wasn't leaving this guy off of there. J.K. Dobbins. This year is going to be, I feel like, monumental for him, because we've seen what he can be, but it always seemed to be that he could never quite take that next step for multiple reasons. One being that he had Mike Weber in the backfield with him. And oftentimes he had to share carries. If Mike Weber was getting the ball and he was getting his rocks off early, then that's who was getting majority of the carries down the stretch. Now he doesn't have that. Also, alongside of him not having Mike Weber in the backfield with him anymore, he has a dual-threat quarterback now. He's got a guy that can run the ball. So we'll see a lot more of those read option plays now to where teams will have to honor the quarterback. Last year, Dwayne Haskins wasn't scaring anybody with his legs. That's why a lot of people were calling for a quarterback change with Tate Martell, just to open up J.K.'s running lanes a little more. But even with that being said, J.K. still had a really good year last year with having teams basically key in on him. This year they can't do quite that. And I think this year we as football fans are expecting him to take that step and to be the running back that we know he's capable of being consistently throughout the year. So he's definitely number three on my list. Number two, Travis Etienne. I mean, goodness gracious. He personally, I went back and forth with number one because I thought that he should be number one. Personally, I think he's the better running back. I just think that the situation that he's in, they won't have to lean on him quite as much with them having Trevor Lawrence. But as far as these running backs are concerned, I personally think Travis Etienne is the best running back out of these guys that I've mentioned thus far. I think he's arguably the best running back in the nation. And I don't think that that's far-fetched at all. Number one on my list is Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin. Reason being is because everybody knows what Wisconsin's going to do. They're going to line it up, run it down your throat. So he's going to get his numbers. And I think that this will be a year where we'll see them lean on him like they have in the past. But I think that he'll have a pretty good year this year. I think that he will, but I personally think Travis Etienne is the better running back. I just think that Jonathan Taylor is a guy that they're going to force feed. So we'll see more of him than we will Travis Etienne. So Those are my top five running backs with my honorable mention, Puka Williams from Kansas. Let's talk overall now, man. Let's talk Heisman. Heisman predictions, man. If you had to sit down right now at the Heisman panel and they said, listen, the season ain't started yet, but who's your pick to win the Heisman? They asked you that, who would be your pick?
I'm taking Tua. I think that he got robbed last year. The guy didn't even play in a fourth quarter until the end of the damn season. And he was still the front runner for the Heisman all year. I feel like the only reason he lost is because Kyler Murray was in a lot more close games and was able to have more Heisman moments. I don't think it's fair to hold that against the guy winning an award, but whatever. So I think that Tua I don't think that Bama's going to do how they did last year and dog out everybody. So I think Tua has a lot more opportunities to actually have some Heisman moments. And we all know that guy's a legend. So I'm rocking with Tua for the Heisman this year.
I mean, I feel like that's the clear favorite. I feel like Tua is the guy. It's his to lose, as it was last year. As you said, Kyler Murray took it from him right at the end. And I think, like you said, a lot of it had to do with the fact that he didn't have any opportunities to have Heisman moments. His Heisman moment was supposed to be against LSU, who was – they were undefeated when they played, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, LSU was undefeated when they played, and they got LSU out the way early. So that – I mean, like you said, he didn't really get a Heisman moment. Now – we did see last year him on that big stage, and we saw Clemson get the best of not only him but Saban, which that's rare. We don't see that too often. But I think that if he wins that national championship last year, that gives him more credibility heading into this season. I think that he's the clear favorite to win the Heisman if they win that national championship. Personally, I think that he's the best – as far as he's got the best shot at winning it. But I think from a voter's perspective, you look at a guy like Trevor Lawrence. I mean, he beat Tua on a big stage last year. His team is number one this year. If he runs the table and goes undefeated this year and doesn't lose a game and plays the way that he played last year, I think that you almost have to give it to him. Just off the strength that, I mean, it's going to come down to Tua having to be Tua, like we know he can be, but he can't have many mistakes. Trevor Lawrence is a guy that he doesn't make too many mistakes out there as a quarterback. And I think that we'll see more. That'll be more of the same this upcoming year. So I think it's pretty much a two-man race between those two guys. Dark horse, if I had to say, I guess it's not necessarily a dark horse, but I guess my dark horse would, I know it's going to sound like I'm being biased, but Justin Fields, reason being is because we saw a guy in Dwayne Haskins last year who made a run at winning the Heisman down the stretch just because of his efficiency. I think that Justin Fields has the capability of being efficient, but then on top of that, you add on the fact that he can run the ball. I think that that'll bolster his stats a little more. It'll make it look a little more balanced. He's dual threat, so he can pass the ball and run the ball, so I think that his stats will be fairly good if he can be efficient. So I wouldn't be surprised to see his name sneak in there, but this would be a year that I wouldn't be surprised to see the top four Heisman voters be quarterbacks. I could see it being all quarterbacks, with it being Tua, no particular order, but Tua, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, and Jake Fromm. And I could see that being a possibility. Now, I think Jake Fromm, out of all of the guys, has more of a dent in his chances of being a Heisman because of the type of offense that they run. They lean on a run a little more than those other ball clubs do. So I wouldn't be surprised to see another running back sneak in there instead of him. But, yeah, I think that definitely it's a two-man race. Tua and Trevor Lawrence are two guys that I think, excuse me, would be neck and neck at the end of the season. If I had to pick one, I'm going to go with Tua. I'm going to go with Tua. I think that Tua will probably be more deserving of that Heisman. But speaking of the end of the season, man, let's talk college football playoff before we get off college football. You had to name your college football playoff. What would your prediction be right now?
At number six, I got Michigan. Number five.
Outside looking in again.
Yep. Number five, I got Oregon. I don't think that they run the table. I know I called them a sleeper team, but I still don't think they get in. But I think they have a good shot too. Number four, I got
OH.
Yeah, I do.
I knew it.
I got Ohio State, and actually, no, I got Oklahoma at number four. I got Ohio State at number three, and then I got the staples. Bama and Clemson at one and two. I don't know the order of what they're going to make it in, but I do know that both of those teams will be representing their respective conferences in the tournament, hands down.
I'm not against that at all. I think that that'll definitely I think that that's a huge possibility. I mean, that's who I got in mind too. Definitely those two teams, but. Let's see. Number six. I'm going to go with Oregon as well. I think Oregon does a great job of showing everybody that they are as good as a lot of people think they are. But I think that they lose to Utah and the Pac-12 championship, and I think that they lose by multiple scores, and I think that that holds them out. That puts them at six. Number five, I got Oklahoma. I don't think that they quite make it in. I think they have a good year, but I don't think that they make it in. Number four, I got Georgia at number four.
And how the hell I leave Georgia off my show?
I got Georgia at number four. I think that the way that that plays out is Bama goes undefeated regular season. They meet up with Georgia in a conference championship like they did last year. But I think Georgia closes the deal this year. They don't leave that door open for Bama. Georgia beats Bama. But Georgia already have one loss from somebody in the conference. So that'll give them enough to get in with one loss, but they'll be in at four. Number three, I got my Buckeyes. I think that we run the table. It's not really – our schedule this year is poop. It's terrible, especially our out-of-conference schedule. Our during-conference schedule is a little tough. It's a little tough. We got Penn State, Michigan back-to-back this year. Believe we got Michigan on the road last game of the season. We always know how that one can go, even though they haven't beat us in like 10 years. But they're due for one. Hopefully it's not this year. I got my boys running the table going undefeated at number three. Then, like I said, Bama, I feel like they'll go undefeated and then lose to Georgia, but I don't think that that'll be enough to keep them out of the playoff. I think Bama will be number two, so we'll potentially see a rematch of Bama and Georgia again. Number one, I got Clemson. I don't really see anybody in the ACC contesting them at all, which has been the story the last few years. I think they go undefeated and run the table, and they match off with Ohio State. We see another Ohio State Clemson matchup. Last time we saw this, they did my Buckeyes bad. I think we get some get back this time. Clemson's beat us the last two times we've played them. Last time we couldn't even get on the scoreboard. Granted, we had JT Barrett back there.
Whatever.
You know, I was never really a JT type of guy, but yeah, I think that that's how it'll play out. Let's have a little fun, man. Who you got your four in there with your matchups? Who comes out on top?
I got Clemson and Bama playing each other again.
Again?
Yeah, but that's more about what I want to see. I'm trying to find this graphic, man. They're dead even over the past 4 years, bro. Like, same record, same amount of championships. Like, this would literally be a tiebreaker year. This is literally a tiebreaker year for them. I cannot find the graphic to get the exact numbers, bro.
I didn't know they had Trevor Lawrence as the he leads the AP preseason All-American team.
Yep.
I figured it would have been Tua, but yeah, I guess him coming off that national championship, that put him in there.
But yeah, I'm taking all this year.
Again, you got him knocking off Saban twice?
Yeah.
Ooh. I think that,
even though Bama's not gone, I think that Clemson is ready to announce themselves officially. Like, we know that they're here, but now I think that we're about to realize that they about to go on this Bama run now. It's their time to shine. Bama might still be around too, but I think that Clemson has pretty much solidified themselves as a national power from here on out.
Again, I can respect that. Let's see. My pick this year, I got it. I think something's going to happen that we have never seen happen before. I think both of the top teams get upset. I think Bama gets beat by Georgia. I think Clemson gets beat by Ohio State. We see a Georgia-Ohio State championship. It pains me to say this, but I think Jake Fromm gets that championship and he stabs out and goes to the NFL.
I can believe it.
That's how I see it playing out, man. I think it's going to be a hard-fought game, but I think that Georgia comes out on top, beats my Buckeyes in the national championship, and that'll give Justin Fields a little more ammo to come back next year. Like, nigga, nah, we winning it all now. I done got a taste of it, but I need it all. So that's definitely what I see happening. I see both of the top teams in Clemson and Bama both getting knocked off in the playoffs, and we see Ohio State, Georgia championship, Georgia wins it all. That'll round it out. I think that'll hurt me a little bit, but it'll be nice to see my Buckeyes back in that playoff, seeing as we got snubbed last year, but I'm not even going to touch on that.
Yeah,
no. Yeah, we did. Let's. That'll pretty much do it for this episode, though, man. We just wanted to touch in and get some college football going on just because we got that approach. And we'll definitely be back with more content, some NFL, potentially some NBA, just some more stuff. We're trying to let some more stuff evolve and go on. But, yeah, man, that'll pretty much do it for this episode. Signing out, it's your boy Ish.
And it's your boy Sam, man. We appreciate y'all for listening.
We out.